Good to see everybody tonight. I don't know about y'all, but this makes me really nervous here. It's not that I wander, it's just that sometimes I do. So I didn't want to knock that. By the way, whoever set up the communion for tonight, thank you. I appreciate whoever that was. That was very kind. Hope you've had a good day. I know some of y'all are just getting back in from vacation. We're thrilled that you could go home and be with family and friends, and that you've made it back safe. I know that's just one of the really fine things about life, is that we do get to enjoy so many things like that. And it's kind of along those lines that I want to talk about this evening, because as we talk about priorities, which is what we were talking about this morning, I don't want to give the impression that there is somehow anything wrong with enjoying the life that God's given to us. It really makes me sad to see people just kind of take things without showing some appreciation. If you ever have given a gift at birthday or Christmas time, and somebody just opens it, looks at it, and tosses it away, you know, you just wonder what you've wasted your time and money for. And it's not that whatever you gave them was that great in the first place. It's just that you'd kind of like to have the appreciation. But very often it's somebody who's just learning how to show appreciation, and they're really excited, but they don't show it. Well, I think sometimes we have that in our life, where we have things that we're just really having a blast doing, but we almost feel like it'd be wrong to act as if we're having a good time. God's given us a lot, and we need to enjoy that, but we need to have things in their place. And so think about some of these things now. Think about your work and how important that is, and all the different things that go into your work, your salary, your conditions at work, the people that you work with, the position that you have there, and the type of work that you do. Think about the recreation that we get to take part in, whether you're able to take part in the recreation yourself or you just watch it. There's just different things that we can do. We can, my family's always enjoyed playing games when they get together and doing different things. I'm one of those, people that I really enjoy, a good television program. They're harder and harder to find, but I've been thrilled that during my lifetime they came up with something called YouTube, so I can go get what I want. And it's usually something from about 1960 or prior, or before, I mean. But that's okay. Watching sports on television, watching sports at the gym, these are things that are fine and very appropriate to do. Think about your money and all the physical things that you look at as far as your money goes. Do you have enough? Do you have savings? Do you have investments? Do you have bills that are pressing? And this is another category of things that we have to deal with, either pleasantly or unpleasantly with. And then our property, our homes, our cars, the different things that we have, our toys that we get to enjoy. But then think about this. Think about your service to God and all that entails. I appreciated the prayer this evening, as Justin was thankful for the welcoming brothers and sisters that we have. Isn't that nice to be able to come and not only be at the worship, be at the worship with people that we really enjoy, who are glad to see us, or at least they have the courtesy to act like they're glad to see us. there's something about that. And so we have that as far as our service, our worship with each other, our study that we do, either with each other or on our own, our prayer life, the opportunities that we have. I hope you take opportunities at mealtime to show how thankful you are for that. The prayer to start the day is so important. It doesn't have to be more than 10 seconds, but it can sure be something as simple as a sincere thank you for this day. Please help me to serve you well. And then when you wake up, you can have maybe a more involved prayer than that. But again, this service to God that we have is another category. And then the last category I want you to think about is your soul, your eternal soul, and the souls of those that you love, your family, for those of you who are married, your spouses, our friends, our parents, our siblings, our children, all of these things. And then how would you rank these things in order of importance? And when you start thinking about that, well, that's really easy. We would put our the condition of our souls and our service to God first if we were ranking them. But if we were going to look at it from a realistic perspective, how much time do we put into these things? How much time do we have in consideration of how we can better serve or how we can help others on their path to heaven? Sometimes that really doesn't get as much consideration. And so as we start looking at all this, priorities are so important. And there needs to be something within our heart that moves us to our service to God first. And then everything else falls into place really nicely. All these other categories, if you've got extra money, you can be happy to have extra money. You can figure out what to do with it that will actually be a service to God. If you're running short on money, well, you can remember that Christ said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough of its own. But you can, everything then begins to revolve around God and around Christ, and the things that seem so important, sometimes the physical things at the time, later on we look at and they're not as important. And so one of the great challenges in life is to get our priorities down while we still have time. And that's where we want to start tonight, is Psalms, the 90th chapter. We won't spend a lot of time there. We've read this before. But something really struck me this evening as I was preparing for this. I've looked at this passage probably thousands of times. And I hope I haven't preached on it thousands of times. But at the same time, I hope it's been mentioned on a frequent basis, because this is important. The length of our days, Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10, is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. When I first started getting up and preaching and teaching probably, I don't know, 35 years ago or more, and I would look at this passage, I would think, wow, 70 years. You know, I'll be, that's 40 years from now. 80 years is just 50 years from now. And now I look at 70 and 80 years and I think, wow, that's just about 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Where did the time go? This psalm, by the way, the introduction in the Hebrew either says a psalm of Solomon or a psalm for Solomon. I don't know that it really matters that much. Either David is writing this for his son, or one of the other writers, or it is a psalm of Solomon. But this, whoever wrote it, and of course it's inspired, but this is true. The years quickly pass. And because the years quickly pass, it behooves us to get our priorities down right early. The earlier we get our priorities down, not only is it going to make our lives better, but it's also going to be something that is going to make the lives of other people better. And so in verse 12, when he says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, this is one of the big challenges of life, isn't it? To number our days aright. How am I using my time here? And it just it kind of goes back to this idea of what do I think I'm here for? Is it just to stack up stuff? I look at the stuff I've stacked up and I sometimes think that must be what I think, because that's what I do. Or is it to help seek and save the lost? My part is seeking. God's part will be saving. But are we doing that? Are we really ready to meet our Maker? And I will say this. When I finally got this down a little bit, I don't want to suggest for a moment that I've got it down perfect or that I have anything near perfect, because I don't. But when I finally started getting this perspective well and started thinking more of the spiritual fact of my life, an eternal being who was created not just for this physical world, but primarily for the life that comes after this physical world. Otherwise, why 70 or 80 years here and eternity there? Once I started doing that, it just seemed like life started falling better into place. It's not that I had fewer difficulties or challenges, I don't think. But it's just that the perspective was different. And so this is something that really does help us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. One of the most important things for us to do is to recognize the opportunities that we have. We have opportunities to help people come closer to Christ every day. We talked about example a week or two ago, and that certainly is one of our primary things that we can do is be a good example. But it goes beyond just being a good example. It also involves reaching out to people. Do you need help here? Would you like to come over and have a meal with us here? Would you come to worship with us? Would you like a Bible study? Just one thing after another. But this idea of be very careful. I think sometimes this life is kind of like a minefield. It just is. You think about. I think it was World War I and World War II where minefields were used at war, and you think about that, the ones who laid the mines down would have a map of it so that they could go back and avoid them as they went through, and then to be able to pick them up later when they hopefully won the battle, the ones that didn't go off in a successful way from their perspective. But for those who didn't know where the mines were hidden, it's very difficult. Because you might be going towards an objective thinking, this is the opportunity to succeed in this push that we're doing, and then just find out that it ends in disaster. This world's filled with landmines. That's what Satan does maybe just as well as anything, is he puts mines everywhere, and this is our map of where the mines are. And if we have that, we can avoid them. But if we don't, or if we're not attentive, or if we don't remember, we're going to hit him. Be very careful. This idea of there's danger out there, but you combine that with making the most of every opportunity, then you realize we're being cautious because we want to help save other people's lives, do our part. Again, it's God who saves the soul. It's Christ whose blood cleanses them, but we have our part to do. John chapter 4 shows that there is an urgency, and maybe this is one of the most important parts of priority, is combining priority with urgency. John chapter 4, let's look at verse 35. Jesus said, "Do you not say 4 more months and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest." I cannot tell you how many people I have had an opportunity with, had I taken it, to ask them for a Bible study, or to ask them to come and worship, or to do. And then, but I thought, the time isn't right yet. I don't want to scare them off. Can you imagine that? So somebody is walking down the road and there's a bend there, and you're in a position where you can see the truck coming around the bend and they can't, and you're thinking, I'd like to warn them, but I don't want to scare them off. We wouldn't do that with physical life, but from a spiritual perspective, we very often have a timidity about the task at hand. And I don't know if it's not a combination of maybe not taking it as serious as it is, or if it's a combined with that having a lack of confidence in ourselves. But But there needs to be a sense of urgency when we talk about making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. They may not have another chance. You may have been their best chance, and today may be the best day. And I'm not talking about just going in like a bull in a china closet every time you see a stranger and just forcing yourself upon them. You know what I mean. You have family, you have friends that you're in a situation. You think, I wonder, I'd like to invite them, or I'd like to see if they'd like a Bible study, or I'd like to talk to them about the condition of their soul. And you know, the moment is now, but you let it pass because you think, you fool yourself, there'll be a better time. So I'll just kind of set the table now, and I'll move later. And of course, there is a time for everything, but again, Christ, the admonition is open your eyes and look. It may be that the harvest is 4 years from now, but it's very likely the harvest is right now. In Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 3, I love this passage. It's talking about Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Their home is in Bethany, and in Mark's account, in chapter 14, while we don't get all that in this particular account, we do in the other accounts, especially John, but I like the way this is worded. In verse 3, Jesus is at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, a woman came. We find out from the other Gospels that this woman is Mary. With an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, she broke the flask, poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? We know that one of the some was Judas. We don't know who the others were, if there were others. For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you. Whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She's anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. And again, the four gospels, we have this account. It's a beautiful account, but it's this part at the end of verse 8 that I really wanted to point out, or at the beginning of verse 8. She has done what she could. Sometimes we hesitate to do things because they don't seem that important. They don't seem as great as what the one next to us has done, or the one that's gone before us has done. But the thing that is worthy of note here is that she did what she could. I came across this account years ago, and I don't know that I have all the figures correctly. At least I'm not sure that I have them all down exactly as they were given. But I do know I wrote them down in this. But there was a man and a woman who went to the funeral of her grandmother. Grandmother grew up during the time of the horse and buggy, the wagons, and before cars were in use. And she was one of eight children. And there was a man that was close by that went to worship on the first day of the week. And so he stopped by and he asked the parents, could I take your kids with me? And they said, sure, you bet. And so over the years, took all eight to worship with them, with the church. And all eight, one by one, through the years, became Christians. And then the mother and the father became Christians. And at the funeral, it was pointed out that this woman who they were burying, who was one of the eight, she had five faithful children. In addition to that, she had 15 grandchildren and 17 great-grandchildren, of whom the ones that were old enough were mostly, if not all, faithful, had become Christians. This is, by my count, just with the family of ten, because the mother and father became Christians, and then her five kids, and the 15 grandkids, and the 17 great-grandkids, that right there is 32, 37, 47 people that were affected, and that's just the ones that they knew about. This didn't have anything to do with the other seven kids. Who knows how many of their descendants were faithful? 47, a man with a wagon. He did what he could. Sometimes in order to do great things, we just have to do small things. But it takes some thought. It takes a desire to have first things first and to put things in the right perspective. Carolyn was talking about a football game she watched the other day, and this will tell you, if you know how Carolyn feels about watching football games on television, how much she loves her daddy. But they watched this football game, I guess, for 2 or 3 hours, and or at least I know the football game lasted that long. I don't know how long they lasted, but the thing that she just kind of marveled at was it was a pouring, driving rain, and the stands were filled with people. They're called fans for a reason. That's short for fanatic, and they were fanatic about it. They were there screaming and rooting their teams on in a driving rain. You ever looked out the window on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night and said, boy, it looks bad out there. It's raining. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to be coming through dangerous circumstances. But I mean, how often the same type of weather that would not prevent me from going to work or prevent me from going to go down the street to check the mail or to go get a Coke or go out to eat or to go watch a ball game where I not only drove in it, but then I sat out in it. And yet how often I'm, I just don't know if this is safe or not, or I don't know if this would be a good idea. And the reason I bring this up is because part of priority, in addition to urgency, is understanding of what's the most important. And again, you know, you're sick. You don't need to be at the worship. I can remember after I had surgery one time, I thought I'd have so much time to read, and I could hardly even read more than one or two verses in my mind focus on it because of whatever they give you during the surgery and after the surgery. There will be times where you cannot be at the peak of your service because of circumstances dictating otherwise. But there are other times where when it comes right down to it, when it's doing something that we really, really want to do, as opposed to something that we maybe just feel an obligation to do, but maybe our heart's not quite in it. When it comes to priority, sometimes that'll tip us. And again, all this kind of started with the thought that Max had on a Wednesday night about 2.5 weeks ago. He took a, I think it was a young lady, if I'm not mistaken, to basketball practice about, I don't know, 6:30 in the morning. And here's this line of cars out there dropping their kids off. And the question was, what is it that brings them there? Is it the coaching that is so good that they're so good at motivating? And that certainly may have something to do with it. But what I have noticed, especially when I go out of my way to do stuff, get up and leave early or stay late or give the extra effort, whenever there's extra effort involved, it is always because I either feel the responsibility or because I really want to do it. And when I don't do things that I know maybe I should be doing, it's typically because I don't feel the responsibility, or maybe I really don't want to do it. And so when we talk about this priority in our life, it's a serious thing. It's a critical thing. But if we get it right, I think we then get to live our life at a level that most people never get to see. Because then, if your heart is right with God and you're doing God's things first, then everything else, I think, is just pure joy with no guilt associated with it if it's not a sinful activity. And so this really is a lesson not only on priority, but it's also about living life to the fullest. And so I'll leave you with this question. Are you doing that? invitation's open. If you're ready to respond to the gospel's call this evening, we would encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.